Now this morning we're going to read from the scriptures. I want to read from Acts chapter 11 and verse 19 of Acts chapter 11 as far as verse 26. So Acts chapter 11 and verse 19. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen travelled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus and Antioch, telling the message only to Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. And the disciples were called Christians, first at Antioch. I'm going to look at this passage this morning, and the theme is Barnabas. And when you think about Barnabas, I wonder what word comes into your mind. I hope it's the word encouragement. And that's the subject really I want to look at from these verses today, encouragement. On Friday night, I went back to Down High, and we had a 90 years celebration. Down High has been on the go for 90 years. And it was lovely to meet people, lovely to meet staff and friends. A test of my memory, I have to say, with some people that I hadn't seen for years and faces that I could recognize, but names were no good at all, and so just asked people who they were. They had a number of people involved in that evening. Presentation on the new building that's coming on stream in a couple of years' time. They had two former headmasters speak. They had some current pupils provide some music for the evening. And they had a former music teacher play some music as well. That was me. Played some music. But it was such an encouraging evening. And I came away thinking, yes, Down High is doing well. 1,000 pupils, more than when I was there as a teacher and certainly as a pupil. But came away feeling encouraged. And isn't that what should happen when we meet together, when we interact with others? Oh, that we might be encouraged because we get a sense of God as we meet in this building, and God is there for us and God is there with us and has done so much for us. And so I want us to go away this morning with this word encouragement in our minds and in our hearts and in our actions as well, that we might be encouragers of one another. That's so important. What about this guy Barnabas then? Well, he's also called Joseph. If you look in Acts 4 verse 36, it tells us that he was also called Joseph, and Barnabas means son of encouragement. He was all about encouragement. And so ought you and I to be, all about encouragements. It says he was a Levite from Cyprus. The Levites in Israel didn't own their own land, but Barnabas owned a field in Cyprus, and he sold it. Maybe the Levites in Cyprus were allowed to, maybe the Levites were allowed to own land in other countries. But he sold his field anyway, and he brings the result of that and takes it to the apostles' feet, puts it at the apostles' feet. They must have been encouraged by that, mustn't they? As Barnabas sold that field and brought the money. Some of you farmers, if you were to sell a field, it would be quite something, wouldn't it? And bring the money to whatever. So here are four things then this morning about Barnabas. First thing, the place Barnabas went to. Put that up, Norman, that's great, thank you. Yeah. These were very encouraging times for the New Testament church. But along with encouragement came persecution, difficulties. And that's often the case, isn't it? That when things are going well, then there's something comes in. And here's persecution coming. The word that is used for persecution is the word that means pressure. And there was pressure on the Christians in those days. So Stephen was martyred, and this persecution comes against the church in Jerusalem, and the believers are scattered all over the place. Scattered to Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, it says here. And they speak to the Jews, but men from Cyprus and Antioch go to the Greeks, and they tell them the good news about Jesus. And listen to this. A great number of people believed, and the church was formed, made up of different people. And isn't it lovely that the church is made up of different people? I'm looking down at different people this morning, different personalities, people from different countries. And it's lovely when churches are formed made up of people of different countries, different people. And here is the case here. The gospel brings salvation to people from different backgrounds, different places. What about Antioch? Well, it was a massive city. 500,000 people. It was the capital of Syria, 300 miles north of Jerusalem. And the main street was 4 miles long. Can you imagine that? Don't know how long the main street is in Newcastle, but 4 miles long, paved with marble. There was a busy port and a commercial center, and wealth was apparent as well. Pleasure was also apparent because there were baths and horse racing that you could engage in. Immorality was also there because the goddess Daphne was worshipped, and immorality was involved with the worship of Daphne. And there was idolatry as well. Greek, Roman, and Syrian gods were worshipped. So put those things on the screen. Here is Antioch. Are you getting a picture of it? Place of immorality, place of idolatry, place of wealth, and place of pleasure. And into this city, this massive city, this pagan city, comes the gospel. And here are God's people coming and telling the good news. Words were used to proclaim the greatest news ever. And into the darkness of the immorality and the idolatry and the wealth and the pleasure comes the great news of the gospel. And Warren Wiersbe says this, and it's a lovely phrase. He says, "The word of God was on their lips, and the hand of God was on their witness." That's what it says, isn't it? In verse 21, "The Lord's hand was with them, and they told out the good news." They told out the good news, and the Lord's hand was with them. Isn't it lovely when the good news goes out, and the Lord's hand brings salvation to people? And that was what was happening here. Into this darkness, into this idolatry, into immorality, into wealth and pleasure, came the good news, and the hand of God was on their witness. And the result is a great number of people believed. Must have been amazing to be there. See so many people come to the Lord. And don't we need to pray that? So we need to pray that the word of God might be on our lips and the hand of God on our witness. I wonder, do we pray? I'm not just talking about Wednesday evening or here in church on a Sunday morning or evening. I'm talking about at home. What goes on here? Great things. The shine is on this morning. Do you pray for that? The tiny tots that happened yesterday morning, or didn't happen yesterday morning, or will happen next Thursday morning, or whenever. The tiny tots, the kingdom kids on a Thursday evening, the friendship hour monthly, and even services like this. I wonder, do we pray that as the word of God goes out on our lips, but also the hand of God might be on our witness, and that people might come to the Lord? It's lovely when that happens, isn't it? It was lovely at our Holiday Bible Club for a five-year-old girl to trust the Lord. Lovely to hear of a lady who came in here from, Greenhill or wherever, and trusted the Lord one Sunday morning. Lovely to hear these things. And oh, that we might pray that the hand of God might be on our witness, and the word of God might be on our lips, and the hand of God on our witness. I wonder, will you pray that that might be true of this fellowship? Antioch was a challenging place to preach the gospel, and so was Newcastle. So was Northern Ireland. Challenging place to preach the gospel. But oh, that as the word of God might be on our lips, so the hand of God might be on our witness. That's the first thing about Barnabas. That's the place he went to. And then the second thing about Barnabas this morning is the encouragement Barnabas brought. I said he's all about encouragement, and so he is. The church in Jerusalem hear about the happenings in Antioch, and they send Barnabas to Antioch, and he sees firsthand what's happening, and it says that he's glad. He's glad. And he encourages the people there to do two things. First of all, to remain true to the Lord. True to the Lord. What does that mean? Well, it's got the idea of perseverance as one of the commentators. It's got the idea of coming alongside to help, to remain true to the Lord. And the word encouragement means coming alongside to help. And isn't that lovely? Here is Barnabas coming alongside the believers who have trusted the Lord. And what does he want? He wants to come alongside to encourage them to remain true to the Lord. The word to remain true to the Lord really means to stay close to the Lord. It's got that idea to it. And that's what God would say to us this morning. He would encourage you and he would encourage me to stay close to the Lord, to remain true to the Lord. And part of the word that is used to remain true to the Lord is a word that's used at the beginning of John's Gospel, where John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the idea is of closeness and nearness. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And it's that idea there of God and the Word being close, the Lord Jesus being close, closeness. And that's the same word that's used here. And it's got that same idea of closeness, remaining like that. Close to him, staying close to him, being close to him. Not that, not distance, but closeness and nearness. And that's what God wants you and me to be like, to be close to him, to be near to him. And so I want to ask you this morning, how are you with God? Are you close like that? Or have other things come in? And distance is there. It would have been so easy in this city, wouldn't it, for the believers to have got involved in the idolatry. And instead of closeness and nearness to God, there would have been distance. Because something else had come in. Maybe that's true of you today. Something else has come in. And instead of being close or near to him, there's distance. Because something else has taken pride of place. Maybe there's immorality that has come in, maybe through the computer or what other ways. And instead of being close to him, there's now distance. Maybe wealth has become number one in your life, and instead of being close to him like that, there's now distance, because money and things and wealth has brought that about. And maybe there's pleasure, just enjoying yourself. Once maybe you were like that, but now there's distance has come in. And says the Apostle Paul, and says Barnabas to these disciples, don't want you to be like that. Don't want you to be the distance that's there, but want you to stay close to the Lord. And Barnabas encourages them to stay close to him. And I want to encourage you to do that, as I encourage myself to do that this morning. To stay close to him. To remain close to him. But there's a second thing here. Because not only does Barnabas encourage them to remain close to the Lord, close to the Lord, this is in verse 23. But you notice the end of verse 23, it says to stay close to the Lord with all their hearts. With all their hearts. Here's the idea of wholehearted following. People who are wholehearted in their following of the Lord. Not half-hearted, but wholehearted with all of their being. Following him with all of their being. Do you remember Caleb, that man who was wholehearted? At the age of 40, he says, we can go in and we can take the land. And 10 of them said, no, we can't. But Caleb and Joshua said, we can. Following wholeheartedly. And at 85, he was as strong as ever, ready for battle as ever, still as wholehearted as ever. Amazing, isn't it? He followed the Lord wholeheartedly at the age of 85. And so whether you're 40 or whether you're 85, or whatever age you might be, it's a great thing to follow the Lord wholeheartedly. Isn't that what he wants from his people these days? Wholehearted following. And Barnabas encouraged them to remain true to the Lord with all of their hearts. These are not easy days to be a Christian. Sure they're not. And so often there can be things that come into our lives that discourage us. I remember Peter Firth talking about perseverance and saying it's like if you're lying on the ground and there's a slab put on you, pressure, and then another slab on top of that, more pressure, and then another slab on top of that, more pressure. And isn't that often the way? Difficulties and troubles can come in more than one at a time. Maybe that's how you feel today, just pressure, and more pressure, and more pressure. But I want to encourage you this morning to stay close to the Lord and be wholehearted in your following of him, as I encourage myself to stay close to him and be wholehearted in following him. How do you stay close to the Lord? You spend time with him, reading the scriptures and in prayer. So here's Barnabas. What encouragement he brought to these people to remain true to the Lord and to be wholehearted. But here's the next one. The third one is the person Barnabas was in verse 24. Get a hold of this, because this guy was so impressive. It says he was a good man. It's not a great characteristic. Goodness. A good man. If you met Barnabas, came into this church this morning, that's what would impress you about him. Goodness. And of course, goodness is a reflection of God's goodness. We read Psalm 100 earlier. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his holy name. For the Lord is good. For the Lord is good. The Lord is good. And we're to be people who are good. People who are characterized with goodness. It's the first thing it says about him. And then the second thing in verse 24, it says he was full of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5, verse 18, encourages us to be filled with the Spirit. There was a lady in the church in Downpatrick, and whenever we talked about the Holy Spirit, Pastor Weir's wife would say, we need the filling of the Spirit today and tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the day after that. We need to be filled and go on being filled with the Spirit. In our fridge, we have a jug of diluted juice. Maybe you have as well. And it usually falls to me to replenish this jug of diluted juice. And we go through a lot of it. Just constant filling with the juice and the water every day. And maybe sometimes more than every day. Just filling and filling and filling. And that's how it is here with the Spirit. We need that today, filling. Tomorrow, filling. Next day, filling. And how does that happen? Well, we need to ask him to fill us. And if your life is filled with other things, like the immorality, like the idolatry, like the wealth, like the pleasure, then He cannot fill us. But oh, that we might be filled with the Holy Spirit, is what it says here. Because the Holy Spirit produces holiness in people, produces godliness in people. The Holy Spirit produces Christ-likeness in people. And don't we need that? Don't you need that? In your family, in your street, in the place where you work, wherever. We need to be Christ-like people. And the filling of the Holy Spirit brings love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, the fruit of the Spirit that used to be on that wall. Missionaries came to a village and they spoke of Jesus. And they spoke of his holiness and his purity and his words, his attitude, his actions. And the people in the village said, "We have a man like that in our village." And how lovely it would be if whenever we speak of Jesus, people would say, "Ah, I know a man like that," because of the filling of the Holy Spirit. And so here is Barnabas, this good man, full of the Holy Spirit, and then full of faith. He wasn't looking to himself, he was looking to the Lord. He was depending on the Lord, he was trusting in the Lord. For salvation, yes. For help, yes. For enabling, for coping, for reacting, for living. Full of faith, depending on the Lord for that. And don't we need to have that attitude that Barnabas had? And what happened with this good man? This man full of the Holy Spirit, this man full of faith, a great number of people believed and were brought to the Lord, it says at the end of verse 24. Barnabas had impact on people. Great, isn't that? Whenever Christ-like people filled with the Holy Spirit have impact on people, and the message of the gospel results in people trusting the Lord. So the place Barnabas went to, the encouragement Barnabas brought, the person Barnabas was, and here's the last thing, the priority Barnabas had in verse 25 and verse 26. Barnabas goes to Tarsus to find Saul, brings him to Antioch, and they meet with the church, and they teach great numbers of people, it says at the end of verse 26. And the disciples are called Christians first at Antioch, followers of Christ, a nickname really. And it says they meet with the church. Interesting that, isn't it? The church is there. No optional extra to the church, by the way. Sure it's not. This is God's plan. God's purpose is that we meet together as a company of people, the church, God's people together. And here we're the church meeting together. And what do they do when they meet together? Well, what does it say? It says they met with the church and they taught great numbers of people. There was teaching. They were listening to the scriptures being opened up. And here's this man, this encourager, preaching along with the Apostle Paul. Can you imagine that? Can you remember imagine the two of them? Imagine if in this pulpit this morning you had Barnabas and you had the Apostle Paul. You wouldn't want to go home. You might want to go home in a minute or two after me, but not with the Apostle Paul and Barnabas. Ah, and did you notice how long they were there for? They weren't there for a week. They were there for a year. And they taught people. And here was Barnabas and the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul there. Teaching the people. Barnabas the encourager. Can you imagine him standing up and just encouraging people from this book? Encourage them to be people of the book. Encouraging them to read the book and think about the book and think about the God of the book. And I want to encourage you to be a person like that. A person who's sold out on the book. And as we come to this place Sunday by Sunday to listen to teaching, oh, that God might give us a hunger and a desire to know the book, and in knowing the book to know him and to love him and to serve him. That was Barnabas' priority, teaching. And make it your priority, as I make it my priority, to be here and to listen to the teaching and to get into God's word and to be transformed by God's word and to be a person who is so encouraged by the God of the word. You can imagine Barnabas bringing encouragement. So thereby, I hope I've managed to give you some sort of flavor of this encourager this morning, Barnabas. The place Barnabas went to, the difficulties that he found in Antioch with the immorality and the idolatry and the wealth and the pleasure. And in the encouragement Barnabas brought, these people would have gone away encouraged to be close to the Lord. Maybe that's you today. Just needs to encourage us to remain close to him and to be wholehearted in our following of him. In the person Barnabas was. Isn't he so impressive? Ah, with goodness and full of the Spirit and full of faith and such a great man as he was. People being brought to the Lord. And then his keenness about teaching and getting the word out that people might grow and develop and mature as Christian things. There was a church in the States and they wondered how they could encourage their workers in the church. So they put on a special evening and they got a red carpet and they put out the red carpet. And they got their volunteers, the people who were involved in ministry, and those who were on their full-time staff stood on either side of the red carpet. And the volunteers, they put on a dinner for them, and the volunteers walked along the red carpet. And as they did, the full-time members of staff stood and applauded. Why did they do that? Because they wanted to encourage them to go on doing what they were doing. Be an encourager. Oh, that this church might be known as people who encourage one another. Oh, that you and I might be people who are known as Barnabas, as encouragers. And oh, that as we seek to encourage people, that we might know the encouragement that God brings to us as we seek to follow him. Will you be an encourager? I hope so. Think about Barnabas and be like him. Be an encourager.